This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
I got to thinking that after last night, we probably should have done what the people at the Academy Awards do and had like a major party, but we didn't do that.
The party.
No. Yeah, we didn't do that. Anyway, if you joined us last night, it was amazing. We had a great time with some great people, and I think that everything turned out just fantastic. What was your takeaway, Steve?
You know, I don't think it could have gone any better. Even with the technical glitches, I thought it added a kind of a charm to it. And I think the people that won were very, very deserving. I don't think I would have changed any of the votes. I think that everyone who got the award earned it. And I was thrilled to be part of it. It was great. It was fun. I loved it.
While you're there speaking, Steve, do you want to introduce our guest really fast before I go into a couple of announcements and some housekeeping things?
Yeah, of course. Today we got the Messianic Manic. He's TMM to most people. He's had a YouTube channel for 2009, but started making videos around 2011. And basically videos debunking arguments relating to theist arguments of a god, Frank Turk's arguments, William Lane Craig arguments, promoting critical thinking, putting out videos on explaining different fallacies. TMM, why don't you quickly give us a brief synopsis while he's getting ready to give a 10-minute speech about what's coming up here? Want to tell people about your channel?
Yeah, well, that pretty much covers it. I do a channel on mostly atheist stuff, but I try to branch out into other sort of skeptical kind of subjects. I also do a lot of videos on like gay rights and trans rights and things like that. That pretty much covers it.
Awesome.
Okay, so in terms of the calendar, what we've got coming up tomorrow, we will have Aaron Ra will be back with us tomorrow, and that will be the rescheduled Ole Anthony interview from last week. They had some tech issues on their end, but the gentleman that runs a watchdog organization called the Trinity Foundation, his name is Ole Anthony, and he was huge about a decade ago when he was responsible for taking down Robert Tilton, who many people know him today as the farting preacher. But back then he was the biggest televangelist on TV and in the world. He was raking in, I think, close to $80 million. And it was Ole Anthony that, and that organization that really stayed on him, found where he had been. He'd been taking prayer requests, Steve, and these prayer requests go straight to a bank in Oklahoma. And those basically so that the bank can pull out the money. Supposedly, they were prepackaging the prayer requests and sending them to Robert Tilton to pray over. You know, they're going to take the money and then send those. What they were actually doing, though, was throwing the prayer requests in the in the dumpsters. So Ole Anthony and his foundation was going and getting these bags of prayer requests. And that's when Diane Sawyer did that kind of expose on Robert Tilton. And they found out that there was over 6,000 prayer requests that were dumped in the behind the bank. So funny thing is, he still uses that today. He still uses that same bank and that same process for when people send things to Robert Tilton. Still goes to the same place. But anyway, so that's going to be tomorrow. On Wednesday, we're actually going to be doing the Smoking Nun from Sunday. That's going to be moved to Wednesday. We're going to be talking about North Sentinel Island and what happened with that missionary. Destiny, if you guys know Destiny, he's a big gamer. He's going to be with us on Friday. And so you make sure you join us for that. And then last but not least, on the 10th, I just want to put this out there. James Lindsay, if you don't know the name, James Lindsay, he has been in some headlines here in the past month for playing quite the hoax. He and several other people wrote about 20 academic articles, and they were false academic articles. But what they were doing is they were over-exaggerating. Like one study was about the discriminatory behavior between or behind dogs humping. And they sent these articles to actual journals to see which ones would go through and which ones, you know, would be picked up, which ones would just be kicked out. And an alarming rate of these were actually picked up. And one of them actually even won an award. But he's also he also got some notoriety back about 3 years ago for the Atheism Must Die campaign, which is – it's not what it sounds like. He is actually an atheist, but he's saying that God is only as important as you make him out to be. He's an interesting guy, and he fresh off of Joe Rogan's podcast last week, so I'm really excited to talk to him. But and if you hear the story, if you haven't heard it yet, go listen to that podcast because it's absolutely hilarious. Okay, one last thing. I love opening email from people that watch the show, don't you, Steve?
Daily.
Yeah. That's said with a subtle sarcasm. Most of the time, I do like opening my inbox, but on occasion there are sometimes that I get emails, and I wonder if the people that send them watch the show, because this gentleman also put this statement in the comment section of one of our Flat Earth videos, and I just kind of want to read it and answer his challenge that he's putting out there. He says, I have a challenge for you that will definitely be, you'll definitely be too scared to take on. The challenge is to prove that any religion teaches the earth is flat. You will not take on this challenge because you love bashing religion and you know acknowledging that flat earthers use the Bible to support their beliefs make Christians look bad, so you allow the continuation of this myth. So, if you guys are smart, have me on, and I will debate you myself as to whether any religion teaches that the earth is flat. If I win, you have to stop bashing Christians based on idiotic flat earth claims. I doubt you will accept this because you want easy kill like flat earthers. A hard debate would challenge you. I have more subs than all of you combined, so maybe you can gain a few subs too. Crickets, thanks, Artisan Tony. I checked out Artisan Tony. Artisan Tony does have quite the sub count. It is a very high subscriber count. But Tony, I don't think that you've watched the show because we've never once ever backed down from any challenge that has been put forth to us. Not once. And just like I said in my response, this will be another time that we won't either. We accept your challenge. And we'll set it up soon. I have been in response with you, and I'm not sure, Tony. There's a part of me that feels like you didn't think we would accept this challenge, because when I told you that we were gonna accept it, you wrote back. I've made this assertion before in your comment section, but it seems you ignored them. It would take me several weeks to prepare, and you keep going on about how much time you need to prepare. There's so many people that so many well-known people that need to be called to prepare for this. it sounds to me that you didn't expect us to accept this. So I'm wondering if you really are ready for this. And I'm going to give you an out. I'm going to give you the opportunity to just say, you know, you called my bluff and be done with it. But if you really feel as strongly as you do, you don't need a month to prepare. You know, come on, let's handle this in 2 weeks. And that's the deal. If you're ready in 2 weeks, we'll do it. If not, then I'm just going to assume you were either trolling or trying to call our bluff. And but yes, we'll accept your challenge and show you that the Bible teaches a flat earth.
And I think that you're right. I think you're right on that he didn't really watch our show, because if people remember last night, we gave an award to the popular choice theist, which was Dr. Seigart, who's a Christian. So this narrative that somehow we're bashing Christians makes absolutely no sense to me. Some of our mods are Christian. S.J. Thomason is a Christian. She's a mod. So I don't understand that narrative. Clearly they don't watch, or they hear what they want to hear.
Now, let's get into tonight's topic. Steve?
Yeah, tonight we're going to be talking about a subject called ichthyism. Most of you probably know kind of a little bit about the ichthyism. People have heard it bantered around, but there seems to be still some questions about what ichthyism is. It's a viable position. The Messianic Manic has a video on ichthyism and a couple on agnosticism, so maybe we can kind of do a transition from that to ichthyism, to theological cognitivism, to talk about agnosticism. But I kind of wanted to start with ichthyism as far as what his video was trying to get across, because I prior to going on air, we kind of had a little exchange, and I kind of understand now, which I didn't before, where he was coming from. So do you want to kind of explain your position on ichthyism, what it is, and what the video you had on it, and why you actually made that particular video?
Well, I have a couple of videos on ichthyism, and I wish I'd rewatched them before I came on, because I don't remember exactly what I said. But I have been using the terms ichthyism, agnosticism, and theological non-cognitivism sort of interchangeably, which is probably inappropriate. But what I mean when I say that I'm an atheist or an agnostic or a theological non-cognitivist is that the definitions of a God that I most commonly hear from apologists, especially William Lane Craig, don't make any discernible sense to me.
Yeah, and you know, I understand you're trying to use it in a little bit of a local type of way. Let me kind of give you the way I understand it and see if you may agree on it. Is that cool?
Yeah.
So the way I understand ichthyism would be a position that would say that the word itself, God, doesn't really have any cognitive meaning, meaning that if it's used in a proposition, it doesn't make sense. So if you say God exists to an ichthyist, that means nothing. A theological non-cognitivist is a separate position, though. They're related, but a theological cognitivist would say that any position dealing with any God talk is not even a proposition to begin with. It's not true. It's not false. It's it'd be the equivalent of saying, in a moral context, like stealing is wrong, it would be true and false. But to an emotivist, which is a non-cognitivist position, they would say stealing, boo, which is not true or false. Does that kind of differentiate between the two?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that there are some, maybe I'm not a theological non-cognitivist then, because there are some definitions of God that I think are perfectly coherent. So, for example, I think there are some, probably not all, but some pantheists will simply say that God is the universe. And if what you mean by God is simply the universe, then if you say God exists, that's perfectly coherent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wouldn't put that under theism, though. Do you put that under theism?
It's certainly not a conventional form of theism. What, I mean, they call it pantheism. Is that a misnomer? Perhaps.
Yeah, I guess it's up to them to determine whether they want to make that a theist or an atheist position. I generally put pantheism under atheism, because it's a position that there is no actual sentient God. It's just the universe is the God, whatever that means. I don't even know how to parse it out, but that's kind of what they would say. So I don't think it's a theist position, but if they want to posit it such, I'm okay with that. But yeah, the reason I was curious
will also say that the universe itself is also conscious, and
yes,
I would call that a kind of theism for sure.
Yeah, I think that's called panpsychism.
Yeah, I mean, I think panpsychism, well, panpsychism is not just that, well, panpsychism is just the idea that the universe is conscious. It's not necessarily that the universe is conscious in a divine way. So I think there are panpsychist interpretations of pantheism.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is where things get complicated, right? Because people think there's just like this or that, but there's all these little subgroups, and unless somebody really kind of tells you their position, you kind of have to like ask questions. What do you mean by that when you say pantheist? When you say panpsychism, what are you meaning by that? Because as you and I probably agree, we hear these terms bantered about, but I think each person kind of means them a little bit differently from one person to another.
Yeah.
Kyle, did you want to add anything on this? Did you want to ask any questions so far?
To this point, I don't. I'm at a. I just learned about what ichthyism is today. Like that's the first time, honestly, I'd ever heard of that term. It was new to me. So what you're talking about right now, Steve, I'm completely lost. You know my position on it. Like I'm one of those that I think you're an atheist, even though you claim to be agnostic. I think that, like Seth Andrews said, to me it's a black and white issue. You know, you're either atheist or a theist. But I
Yeah, and
mean, I
we'll get
know.
into a little bit too. The atheist thing, what I see is I see a lot of people will somehow revert to atheism when they don't really want to have an actual conversation, right? They'll be like, you have to define your God before you even have a conversation on it. And it's like, at least give a little bit of principle of charity. I think you and I both understand what a concept of God would be. I mean, TMM, when we like you said, people can come to the table with some coherent concept. Now you argue that the Hebrew God, the God of the Bible, is incoherent, correct?
Well, more specifically, the God that the sort of academic theologians and especially the apologists talk about is incoherent. So when William Lane Craig says that God is a timeless, spaceless, immaterial mind, I have no idea what that's supposed to mean.
I haven't quite figured out what he means by that either. I think it's just positing something that there's really no explanation for. I agree with what you said before about God. If somehow God is timeless, how does he create something in time? I have not quite worked that out. And I'm going to have Wayne come on soon. He might be able to like elucidate a little bit as from a theist position, because I don't know what they mean by that either. I don't think it's incoherent. I just don't think that it tells anybody anything about what it means to create something in time from an entity that's somehow outside of time. It
Yeah,
does
I
sound
don't
weird
know
to
what it
say,
means
doesn't it?
to carry out. Yeah, I don't know what it means to carry out any kind of action, even creation, without time. I mean, it seems like any kind of action to do anything requires time in some sense.
I think we kind of like both agree on this then. So you want to like actually get to your agnostic videos, because I think Kyle wants to like dive into that, because he and Seth Andrews are under the impression that agnosticism falls in atheism. Clearly, I disagree with that vehemently. I just think that's absolutely bonkers. Where do you fall on that? I mean, because I've watched your videos on agnosticism, and I'm still kind of questioning your position on it. I don't think it was. It really told me whether you think atheism is a separate position, or it's atheist, or somehow in between, or.
Well, I think to be a theist, you would at the very least have to have some suspicion that a God exists. And if somebody doesn't have a concept of God, doesn't understand what a God is even supposed to be, I don't think you can have a suspicion that a God exists. So I would say it's not a theist. I mean, could there be an in-between position in between a non-theist and an atheist, maybe?
I think we
Why is
agree.
it? Why does it have to be? Why is it going to be between non-theist and theist? An atheist and agnostic is not between a non-theist and a theist. They're all non-theist. Anybody who's not a theist is a non-theist, right? So
Well, yeah, I mean
agnosticism
that's
isn't
why there would be a
between.
dichotomy between the two.
Right, but that's a dichotomy. But non-theism, excuse me, agnosticism and atheism fall under the non-belief position. Right, but under non-belief, the positions that they are in between is that they don't believe the proposition's true and they don't believe the proposition's false. That's what it falls in between. I don't believe theism is true. I don't believe theism is false, but it's still a non-belief position because it doesn't hold the truth position.
Right. That's the
point.
Does
that make sense?
So would you say that an atheist right. is someone who says that the assertion that God exists is false?
I'm sorry, what?
Would you say that an atheist, the term atheist could only properly apply to someone who believes that the assertion that God exists is false?
No, I mean, that's what it actually is in philosophy. I mean, if generally the most common understanding, if you read a peer-reviewed paper, if you read the literature, is that God does not exist. Specifically, atheism is the belief that the proposition of theism is false, which would entail the ontologically there are no gods, right? But there are colloquial definitions. I know Kyle uses them, Arn uses them, Seth uses them, Matt Dillahunty uses them. Those still are atheists, right?
Here's what I say about it. I fall under the if you are not a theist, if you are someone that does not identify as a theist, you are an atheist. You know, if you don't take that moniker that you actively believe that there is a God, I think that that puts you in the atheist category because you're not a theist.
And I reject that. That just makes you a not theist. Right? The negation of theism, if you just say theist or not theist, right? And what they right. do is they take not theist and they make that atheist. They change what that word, those mean to another label. And that label assumes other positions because of that. It actually nullifies positions like agnosticism. It nullifies
some people do.
Agnosticism.
Well, some people do. I'm saying I don't think for the most part people like for the most part I don't think people break it down into you know, strong atheist, weak atheist, you know, all of these labels that we've broken down in the umbrella term of atheism or agnosticism. I don't think that generally speaking everyone breaks it down to such a microscopic level like that. So I think that speaking in broader terms, if you are not a theist, that makes you an atheist.
Yeah,
you can break it down. I reject. Sure. You can break it down. Absolutely. But I don't think for the most part, most people do.
What do you think?
Yeah, I've typically just used the term atheist to include both non-theists and what I sometimes call counter-theists, people who affirm the non-existence of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be atheist in philosophy, though? An atheist in philosophy is somebody who believes there are no gods.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I think we all agree that that is how it's used in philosophy. You just call it counter-theism?
Yeah, well, just to be more specific, because there are so many people who use the term atheist to include people who are simply non-theists.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The reason I reject that is because if I just said to you, we're going to use like the famous Matt Dillahunty gumball example. Everybody likes the gumballs, right? People like talking about balls a lot on this channel. I don't know why. So, if we have a gumball machine, right, and I just say, "Hey, TMM, the number of gumballs are even. Assume they're whole gumballs, right? The principle of charity, they're not half a gumball. They're quantized. So if I say the number of gumballs is even, then if you don't accept that, it doesn't make you an oddist. It just makes you somebody who doesn't accept that they're even, right? If you say I don't know if they're even and I don't know if they're odd, you're agnostic on that proposition, right? And that's the same thing with agnosticism in philosophy, is saying that I don't know whether theism is true and I don't know what's false. I'm agnostic on that proposition. So when an agnostic says, I hold to agnosticism, what they're saying is they're not saying they're between belief and non-belief, right? They're non-believers, but they're just like the person who doesn't hold that they're even. They're just saying, I don't believe that it's even. I don't believe it's odd. I don't believe it's theism is true and I don't believe it's false. That's it. It's the same position as a weak atheist, what people refer to as a weak atheist.
Steve, if you're agnostic, you're an atheist.
Does he have the best voice for radio?
Here's my issue with that, though. You know, in that scenario, that one of them is—it's either going to be it's odd or even. Like that's a guaranteed outcome.
Right. That's ontologically. God exists or God does not exist. Right. Ontologically, they're even or odd, but I have no knowledge either way. I don't know if they're even or odd. I have no belief either way. I have no reason to justify either way, right? I can't say I believe that they're even because I have no justificatory reason to say that. And I can't say that I believe that they're odd because I have no justificatory reason for that. So I'm literally in the gumball thing. If somebody's just hypothetically causing a gumball, I have to be agnostic on that proposition.
What do you think, TMM, about that example?
Yeah, I mean, you can be agnostic about it, but I mean, I think people have a choice as to whether they want to call that atheist or not. I've just come to accept that there are people who use that term one way, and there are people who use that term another way. And usually, depending on who I'm speaking to, I will try to clarify which they mean. And I just accept that there are multiple definitions.
Sure,
And you know
I
what?
agree.
And I perfectly agree with you. And this is why, if people want to, like, what we would generally call a weak atheist, if they want to call that atheism, they can, right? I've never said to a weak atheist, you're philosophically agnostic and you should call yourself agnostic. No, but they keep telling me I'm atheist, even though I've clearly defined myself as not, because in philosophy, I wouldn't be
You're
considered an
atheist,
atheist.
dude. Let me see if I can go back to this example there real quick. Let me see if I can go back to this gumball
It
example.
kind of
Okay,
proves my
so
point, right?
if you are somebody that is being asked to choose whether it's even or odd, right? You're somebody the people who say that it's odd, right? That they know it's odd. Those are going to be our theists, right? They know the answer to the
No,
question.
no,
So
no, no. They
these,
believe. No, they believe that they're odd,
sure,
right?
all
Now,
right, fine, fine, fine,
theist can.
fine.
Yeah, okay.
Fine, 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 fine. So they believe they know what the that it's an odd answer, right? So these guessers, I guess, are people who are choosing to outwardly guess whether it's even or odd, right? So they are guessing. That's the act, right? So if you have the other two categories, one that's saying I'm not going to guess because I don't believe that there's even gumballs in there, and then the agnostics are going, I can't guess because I don't know. I can't know either way. Both of those two groups are not guessing. Now they're not guessing in a different way, but they're still not guessing to the question. So when you have a group of people who are guessers that claim that they know, that's theists. And even though you have two different camps that are not guessing, it's still under the umbrella term of
No,
not guessing.
the atheist guesses. No,
Atheist.
the atheist guesses. The atheist would, in this analogy, even would be the theist, odd would be the atheist in this analogy. If you don't think they're even, it doesn't mean you're an oddist, right? So in this analogy, you just because you don't hold to one position doesn't mean you hold to the other. An atheist makes a determination. The atheist says, I believe there are no gods. That is what it is in philosophy. I think most of us agree with that part, right? TMM, would you at least agree that in philosophy, that's generally the most recognizable understanding if you read the literature? You don't have to hold to it,
Yeah,
but
that seems
that's
to be the case.
okay. So that's kind of like not even that contentious. But the point being is that if you have that position where you don't say they're true and false, then the word for that is agnostic. Now, an atheist, you're right. The atheist will say the same thing. I don't have a position either way, right? They don't make a guess. And you're absolutely right, Kyle, on that. They want to call that atheism. I get that. But in philosophy, it's not. But I accept the more formal terminology. That's why I consider myself an agnostic. But the real question is, what about the weak atheist out there that don't make a position? They just say, you know what, I don't believe. How is that any different than what I do? I just have a different label for it. Anybody?
I think it is just semantic. I think it is just a different choice of label.
And
Mm.
that's kind of what I've
I
been
think
telling people too, and they don't seem to get that for some reason.
that you would agree though, Steve, most people don't speak about it in a philosophy context. It's generally speaking, it's not used that way. Unless you're specifically going into a conversation where both parties agree that, you know, to your definitions beforehand and that this was the conversation. But as a general
Well, but I do.
rule, it's
But I hold to those
I know you
definitions, and that's why I
I
ask
know that
people to
you
respect my
do.
positions on that.
I
Right.
know that you do, but I'm saying like if you're
It seems as
having,
though.
let's say when you go ahead, team him.
Well, it seems
Go ahead.
it seems as though when you're talking to people on YouTube about atheism, the definition of atheism that includes agnosticism in it is a lot more popular than the academic definition. But if you talk to someone who doesn't usually have these conversations, they will assume that atheist means that the person who calls themselves that is saying there is no God.
Yeah,
I agree with that
and
wholeheartedly.
again, I'm happy to ask somebody what they mean by it, right? If they say I'm an atheist, but I just don't have any belief, okay, I know what they mean by it, right? But sometimes they do get upset when I tell them, well, if you read the literature, that's not what it means to be an atheist. And I don't care what you call yourself. You can call yourself whatever you want. I'll call you whatever you want. My only argument has always been, why, if I show you that respect to call you an atheist when you're really not taking a position, you're just being agnostic on it, labeling yourself an atheist, why don't they show me the same respect and give me the label that I prefer? Because the dichotomy is not theist and atheist in philosophy. It's theist and not theist. And under not theist, you have multiple categories. You're ichtheist, agnostic, apatheist. I mean, there's a whole bunch of categories in a non-theist. That's the only argument I've ever had. And I think that's kind of boils down to just what you know, have a little respect for the person that you're talking to. If you want to be called a specific label that is fitting to you for what you believe,
well, oh,
that's ooh, what I'm going to refer to you as.
Well, there was a debate once between William Lane Craig and Christopher Hitchens, and I think one of the objections, I forget what argument Christopher Hitchens made, but William Lane Craig's objection was, well, that's just agnosticism. That's just a lack of a belief in a God. And Christopher Hitchens says, well, yeah, that's atheism. And William Lane Craig replied, well, it seems like you're redefining atheism to mean a kind of atheism. And I think that's where the tendency to have a knee-jerk hostile reaction to that definition of atheism comes from.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think you're right. Steve, I mean, William, okay, one second. We all agree William Lane Craig is very duplicitous in his debating. Okay, I mean, he's not a very fair debater, would you agree? He's skilled, but he's a little dishonest, would you agree?
At least some of the time, yeah.
Yeah,
some you said something interesting. What's there, Steve. With the why don't we just let
Kyle's
people?
Kyle's going to try to catch me. This is cute.
Why don't we just refer to people? Why don't we just refer to people as what they want to be referred to as, the label that they want?
Theologically speaking.
I just want to take you back to an episode where that wasn't the case. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
I knew where you were. I already way ahead of you. I knew where you were going on that.
I saw your face. Yes. Wayne. So Wayne is coming in now. Yes. Wayne. I see.
Yeah. He's trying to join his phone. So let's make sure he can actually connect.
If you guys remember Wayne, he is the theist that used to believe in young earth and switched his beliefs after him and Steve had a debate, and he's been on here. He came on here with Hugo and Jake. They had a really, really heated, but really good conversation. I was really impressed with how that turned out. So we decided we'd bring him back and let him, what was he going to touch on, Steve?
I think he wanted to like actually talk about if the proposition or the question, does God exist, have any real meaning? You know, is it something that we should even care about to have a conversation with?
Cool.
It says he logged in. So. Wayne?
All right. Can you hear us, Wayne? Nope. Can't hear us. Right. All right.
Dave, Wayne, you need to open the browser.
Yeah. So TMM, on your channel, while we try to figure out what we're doing with Wayne here, what other topics besides these kind of like, you know, these heavy into the philosophy videos do you do? Because I've looked on your channel and you cover quite a range of things. You kind of want to go through the different things that you like to talk about and maybe some of the ones that you like the most or the ones you like to cover the most?
Yeah, I've been trying to branch out a little bit. I have a whole series on Ben Shapiro and how he's wrong on various things. Each video is titled Shocker. Ben Shapiro is wrong about : whatever he happens to be talking about. What was the last? One of the more recent ones that I did was, damn it, it was really popular and I can't remember the name of it. Ben Shapiro is wrong about... Well, anyway, I did on how Ben Shapiro was wrong about trans people, how Ben Shapiro was wrong about healthcare, how Ben Shapiro was wrong about
rap.
Yes, yeah,
he was wrong about rap.
Rap music?
Did you do that one? Yeah, somebody did.
No, I didn't do that one.
That, you should have, because that would have been cool.
That would be interesting.
That's hilarious. All right, so I think we saw Wayne and. I saw that you went to MythCon. What did you think about MythCon? How How was that?
MythCon was a lot of fun. I don't know how productive it was. Because, I mean, one of the things that I say a lot about MythCon is that when you put people on stage, what they discuss on a stage in front of an audience that's like rooting for one side or another, you know, it doesn't tend to get as far as a discussion between two people in person, because it becomes a performance.
Mm-hmm. Which panel did you think was the most contentious?
That was clearly the one between Sargon and Richard Carrier.
Oh,
I thought so. Yeah. We've had both of them on here, and they're both so like nice and respect, you know, I like them both. And it was one of those situations where it's kind of like watching mom and dad fight. You know, you're like, "Oh, why can't they just stop?"
I think what happened is they both thought they were coming into an adversarial position with each other. And I don't think they ever moved past that. I think that they would have started not realizing they're not really adversarial and just having a conversation. It probably would have been as visibly hostile as I think it was.
Well, it felt to me like that's what Richard Carrier was trying to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to hopefully be visiting with him on the 29th and having some drinks with him. And I'm going to, I kind of want to ask about that.
Last question before we bring Wayne on. What did you think about the Armored Skeptic and Creationist Cat back and forth that they had? What was your takeaway from
you mean specifically at MythCon?
Yeah, yeah. What was the subject line that they were trying to suss through? I can't remember it off the top of my head what the specific topic was. Something about how we can come together, middle ground on atheism or something like that?
Yeah, it was something about liberal versus conservative atheists and finding middle ground between them, I think, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think Vadim's point was that there are a lot of folks that atheists are embracing who are on the right, who are also often quite religious, and quite fond of woo. People like Ben Shapiro sometimes, people like Jordan Peterson sometimes. And Vadim's point was that if you're embracing these people, that's not very skeptical, especially if you embrace some of their more woo-ish ideas. And I think Armored Skeptic's response was if you don't believe in something like or if you do believe in something like, say, trickle-down economics, that was the example that Vadim used, Armored Skeptic said, well, that doesn't have anything to do with atheism. And Vadim was like, well, it doesn't have anything to do with atheism, but it has a lot to do with skepticism.
I don't follow that.
Yeah, well, that's good. Because you need to be
Vadim's
skeptical.
Point was that if,
yeah, go ahead.
Vadim's point was that you should be skeptical of things like trickle-down economics because he believes that it's been fairly thoroughly debunked.
Mm-hmm. I don't particularly think that, but economics was not my strong point. I took it in college. I mean, it sucked. But I don't totally know what that's with skepticism. I think he's conflating philosophical skepticism, what's called ordinary skepticism. And I think there's a huge distinction to be made there. But I don't see the relationship toward atheism. I think the point to be made is if you want to talk about, you know, having a skeptic mind, right? If you want to be skeptical on certain woo-woo claims, right? Then yeah, like when Jordan Peterson thinks that for some reason thousands of years ago shamans were able to see DNA because they can close their eyes and that's just, you know, see these visions of DNA in their eyeballs, that's just bizarre. Right? If you want to be doubting that particular woo-woo shit, then yeah, I'm all for that, although it's technically not skepticism, but I don't know how that relates to something like economics where I don't even think trickle down has been quote
disproven. You're overcomplicating.
I'm not
just saying be weary of it. You're overcomplicating it. That's not skepticism.
Okay. That's just people saying, oh, well, just be wary of shit. That's
to your definition, but to everyone else's, it's skepticism. Wayne, are you with us?
Everybody else is wrong.
Wayne.
Wayne.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
What's up, my friend?
Hey, what's up, Gus?
Hey, buddy.
You want to introduce yourself, and then we'll let you have the ask the questions to TMM that you wanted to ask?
Sure. Wayne Phil Marvin, I've been here probably, what, 3 times so far, 2 times, something like that. Yeah, former younger creationist. Former younger creationist, former long-term substitute science teacher, evolutionary creationist, theistic evolutionist, Christian, and now, and I guess, somewhat of an amateur debater. So, yeah.
Excellent. All right.
Sure.
Whenever you're ready, Wayne, we're going to let you kind of ask your questions and steer it from here.
Well, I didn't really have any questions. The way it was presented to me was I was going to present some arguments and we were going to discuss it. And I guess go from there. So I don't really have any questions, but I guess I have some points I guess we could discuss.
Sure.
But I came in a little late. You guys were talking about like, igtheism. And does the question of God even make sense? And different definitions of certain beliefs or certain positions. And so I came in towards that. So which way do you guys want me to come at it?
Yeah, go for it.
So does the question of God make sense, or is it so? The way I'm understanding it is, are you saying does the question of God, or is the question of God, is it valuable today? Does it have any meaning today because of our like scientific advancements?
In that direction. I mean, that's a great question, actually. I mean, a lot of people will posit that the more we learn about science, the less there is a need for God as an explanation, because there is something to be said about people have used the God position in order to explain things that they didn't understand before.
Oh, like younger Christians.
So is it relevant today?
I would say it's relevant today as long as you don't use it in the same way that flat earthers or younger creationists use it. They're using God as a scientific explanation, and the people who came before, you know, younger creationists and flat earthers and all those people, they were a lot more honorable. These were people who understood that God is not a scientific explanation. It's more of a philosophical explanation that might help benefit the happiness in your life, or it might help benefit the purpose in your life that you're longing for or you're searching for. So as long as you don't use it as a scientific explanation, I think it definitely does hold weight, or it does hold value for those types of people looking for a philosophical type of truth. But if you're looking for like a scientific truth and a God question, those are two different fields.
What do you think, TMM, about what you just said there about that?
In terms of relevance for people's lives, yeah. Certainly the idea of God has meaning in the sense that it has some kind of significance, that it gives them some kind of direction. A question that I have, though, is that I would like to know what to you it means to even say that a God exists. What is a God, and what does it mean to say that one exists?
That's a very good question. I will say, as far as when people in Western civilization think about God, they think about, or they tend to automatically like bring into their mind the Christian Judea God, omnipotent, omnibenevolent, the omnis. And for this discussion, just get that out of your head. we cannot talk about that God. We can talk about a more general type of God. So what does it mean for a God to exist? I like the definition of God that the ancient Israelites would use. So their version of God was Elohim. And that is one word that has many different meanings. So an Elohim is just a disembodied spiritual agent that belongs in the supernatural or spiritual world. So like, for example, your dead grandparents would be an Elohim. They wouldn't be an Elohim in the same way that Yahweh is, because Yahweh is unique. But I think that is probably one of the better ways to put it. And that would lead you probably to like deism. There is a God. Is he a personal God? Is he Allah? Is he Buddha? Is he et cetera? We don't know. But I think that would be the best definition that I could go with. And it's actually a lot more honest, because this whole thing with William Lane Craig or Frank Turk or these people are like, God is he's a disembodied mind. I heard you guys talk about that, and I've actually thought about that, and I'm like, that I don't think that makes sense either. Why can't we just say he's a disembodied spiritual agent? I mean, this stuff is religion. It's a religious type of thing. And I think when people try and cloak the original religious word, like spirit, right? Like that's a religious word. When people try and cloak those words and try and make them sound more intelligent or try and make them sound more scholarly than what they are, that definitely is dishonest.
Okay, that's interesting. It's interesting that you make a distinction between a disembodied mind and a disembodied spirit. I'm not sure I understand the difference between the two.
So, as far as a disembodied mind, and I saw one of your videos earlier, and you had worded it perfectly, where you said something where, in order to have a mind, and you can pick up kind of where I left off, because I can't quote you 100%, but in one of your videos, I would agree with you. You said a mind has more to do with like a material substance. You can't have a mind without an actual body. So when people say God's a mind, it doesn't really make sense. We've never seen a disembodied mind. In order to have a mind, you need a form of biology. And I would agree with you. So as far as a spirit, I could more or less define it to you, but I can't, it's not like I could like give it to you in a jar and paint it red. Cause like I just said, it's religion. It's religious. It's belief. It's not a science. But so defining what a spirit is, I would say a spirit is like I said, a disembodied agent. I've never seen one. I've never tasted one or felt one, but that's what it would be defined as, disembodied agent.
Okay. The term agent is usually used to mean something that makes sort of deliberate choices. Would you agree mm-hmm. with that definition? Okay.
Yes. So
which one?
I was just saying, so as far as that, so where we go from there is I would argue that there definitely is reason to believe that a God or a divine agent does exist. Whether he's Allah, whether he's Buddha, whatever you would never necessarily know. But I will say one of the reasons why I would say it makes sense to believe in God, or do I want to put it like that? I would say one reason why I believe in God, at least, is it seems to me there is a direct correlation between being intelligent and being religious, as far as when you look at human evolution. So we know that our ancestors and our ancestors before our ancestors, like the Homo sapiens, Neanderthals, they were religious. It seems as if when our ape-like ancestors are, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but our ancestors that started to first show religiosity were Neanderthals, right? Where they would bury their dead and
all
that stuff.
They would bury the dead, but we don't know if that was for religious purposes or the fact they didn't want wild animals coming around to, you know, kill them,
eat their bodies and stuff like that.
I don't know if they had religious beliefs, but it I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
it certainly wasn't any kind of organized religion.
No. So as far as early humans go, I think they definitely were religious, and I think that it goes to show that as soon as humans first begin to become intelligent, and you know, they started to become interested and, you know, early, like, pre-scientific ideas. Like, for example, how did the stars get to where they're at now? Or stuff like, they probably didn't ask exactly like that. Or why does the sun set in the way that it does, you know?
When they started questioning things.
as soon as when people started questioning things, this God thing, this God idea came into front view or front provision. And so I would definitely say it seems like religion is a thing that only us higher evolved animals can even come up with or even understand. And I think it definitely is a it's a direct correlation of our intelligence. So I would say that's one reason why I would say I can understand how people could come to this belief in God.
Interesting.
But yeah, that definitely works as a putative explanation for why people believe it. But that's not really a justification for the belief. That doesn't say why you should believe it.
Mm-hmm. No.
So why should we?
As far as the why you should, that's where you start going from more general to like more specific. I would say people should believe it because I'm a Christian. So I would say, obviously, I think the resurrection of Jesus is the best explanation among all the other religious beliefs. But also, I think why should people believe in God? I think it best makes sense out of all the other explanations.
But why?
So you think, you think that God is, say, the best explanation for why the universe exists, for example?
Yes.
Well, now, can you give us some qualifiers, Wayne? Like, why do you feel that way?
I'll give you guys like a twofold answer. One. I haven't seen a better explanation as of yet, but if I found one, I would be more than happy to take it. But it seems like this God explanation has been an explanation that people have been holding to for thousands of years, because I think it's the best among all the others. You have God, you have what's another explanation people have for why the universe exists? You have the multiverse hypothesis, which, you know, that's up in the air. Some people might say aliens, and this goes on to my second part, where if aliens or some other form of higher beings, you know, did create the universe, or if we were to find out they did exist, I would say one way we could actually test this God hypothesis is I would bargain to you, or I would reckon to you, that if aliens or other higher forms of intelligence does exist out in the universe, I think they would be religious too, because I think religion, I think there's a direct correlation between being intelligent and being religious.
All right, let's hold on, Wayne. TMM, do you want to respond to what he just said there? There's a glaring thing here, Wayne, and I'm going to let TMM say what he needs to say, and then me and Steve will kind of go through a little bit. So TMM, if you have anything that you'd like to put in on that.
Well, I think before people understood why certain things happen, like why does it rain, the hypothesis that first popped into their mind is because there is some kind of spirit that wants it to rain. Because when we move parts of our own bodies, it's because we want to. And they didn't have any kind of understanding of the mechanics of how the brain interacts with the limbs and things like that. And similarly, they didn't understand the water cycle and things like that. But as we have come to understand that there is a thing like the water cycle, like evaporation and condensation and all that kind of thing, we don't then say, well, that's because there's some agent that wants it to rain. There is a process that carries that out. And that's been the case for so many things that we have said are due to a god or due to a spirit, that it seems like not an unwarranted inference to say that everything else that we don't currently know how to explain will probably turn out the same way. As I think it's Penn Jillette that said that everything that we've ever discovered an explanation for has turned out to not be magic.
Mm-hmm. And there's one other thing. I think TMM is dead on, but to go deeper in that, Wayne, it doesn't sound to me like you yourself have any good reasons that even you think warrant the belief in God, because what you're giving us is kind of like a broad talking point that you know, we hear on a grander scale, but there's nothing like from you personally, either coming or something that you seems like you hold like steadfast in. You know what I mean? Like, is there anything that you have seen yourself, or that you you've witnessed, you've felt, you can't explain, anything like that on a personal level that would lead you to believe that there is a God, instead of like in the broad general sense that we were just a second ago?
Yeah, no, but I don't think I would need to. The whole thing about God is either you're convinced or you're not. It's more of a very binary thing.
Right. But why are you convinced? Yeah. That's what I'm trying to get to. Why are you convinced? You say you're convinced, but why?
Because to me, it logically makes sense. It logically makes sense that there is this divine, you could say, causal agent or being that created the universe. Or else the universe wouldn't exist.
Well, just as I have a problem with the idea of a mind existing without a brain, I still have a problem with the idea of an agent existing without a brain, because it seems like agency and deliberation and making choices, that seems like some kind of process that it would require. Something carries out that process. And if it's not something material, if it's not something physical, what is it?
So that's a very good question that's been discussed. I would say you're right, but it's something that we can't fully understand, because who knows the physics beyond this universe. I couldn't be able to explain to you. It's something beyond our knowledge. Now, what I will say is, as far as God, it seems like, you know, there's this hyper-dimensional thing going on where it's something beyond our reach in time or our understanding of time. I would not say that something spaceless or timeless created the universe. I think a better way to put it is whatever created the universe is on a separate timeline to us. It exists on a separate timeline, or it exists in another plane of space or another dimension. But I would agree with you guys where if you have something spaceless, timeless, or immaterial, you sort of have nothing. So that's not really a good argument.
Let me try to bring it back a little bit, because I think you went off on a tangent there about the whole, like, the mindless thing. You know, I'm going to go a little bit parting from DMM here. I don't have a problem with a mind existing independent of body. That I have no issue with that. I don't believe that, but it's not logically impossible. Okay, so dualism, people are dualist. What I have an issue of is that we've never seen that, and you're arguing as an abductive case. You're saying, because you said it before, I find it to be the most likely explanation. Well, there's two problems I have with that. One, it's not the most likely because we've never seen that as an explanation. You have no priors to compare that to. Not saying that's logically possible. Sure, it is possible. I think that dualism, it's logically possible. I don't think it's physically possible, but for arguendo's sake. But you're saying that it's the most likely explanation. But is it? Because if we've never seen anything to explain it before, like people, Hovind loves the whole arrowhead argument, right? If you see walking down a beach, you see an arrowhead. We know that man created it, some intelligence created it. Yes, because we have priors by which we've seen man create arrowheads before. We've never seen a disembodied mind create anything. So that's one point. And the other point would be, you know, I forgot to say a point. Address that, and then I'll get to my second point, because I've lost my train of thought too. But how do you think it's the most likely case where we've never seen that before as an explanation?
So are you saying, like, because we've never seen, you know, something with the characteristics of what people call God, that means it must not be true?
No, that's not what I said at all. I've never said it must not be true. I'm saying is, if you're going to say it's the most likely explanation, that means you have to have some reason by which you've seen a prior event to which to compare it to.
Reason is the key word, Wayne, that we're all three of us are trying to get to. Like, what is the reasons for why you believe that is more likely than not? Because you're giving us overall answers. You're just saying,
yes,
I believe it's more likely than not that a God created this this universe, but you're not telling us why you believe it's more likely than not. Because what about the Big Bang? What if it was the Big Bang? Why is the Big Bang not good enough compared to the God explanation? What puts God, what gives him that little edge over something like the Big Bang?
Because the Big Bang doesn't deal with creation. The Big Bang deals more with like expansion.
That's true.
But it would lead to it. Sort of. I thought that was like M theory, right? M theory more or less deals with like the beginning. But yeah. Nonetheless, when you always come back to this in full circle where you kind of have this, why is there something rather than nothing? And if you actually do have a philosophical nothing, you don't have anything. But yet here we are. Yet we do exist. And so, you know, for TMM. Centuries and centuries.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Wayne. I didn't mean to cut you off, Wayne. I'm sorry.
No. But you come back to this problem in full circle time and time again, where you either have something that created everything or you either have nothing that created everything. And then people say, oh, well, you know, there's something. Can't just randomly go and create this whole universe and blah blah blah. You guys have heard the arguments before, but why, I find those arguments.
I'm perfectly fine with something coming from nothing. I have no issue with it actually.
TMM, help me out here. What am I? Maybe you can put it in better wording than I could about what we're looking for here with in terms of just reason from something to that we can suss out with Wayne's belief.
I think the question, like, why is there something instead of nothing can be extended to God. Why is there a God instead of not a God? I mean, is that close to what you were trying to ask?
Sure. So why is there a God instead of not a God? Because it just is.
So you're positing it as a true fact.
Right. TMM just hit it on the nail, right? The nail on the head right there.
Right.
You can posit the other as a brute fact, Wayne.
Do you see how it, because it just is not a, I mean, it's not a good reason to have to hang on to something like so tightly as you are, you know, like with being a theist. Just because just doesn't
well,
cut it.
It's very comparable to how when Christians, you know, as atheists, you know, why is the universe the way it is? And the atheists will say, well, because it is. And so we just take a
That's not what they say. No. I don't think that's what they say. But let me direct it this way. Wayne, direct it this way. When you say God is the explanation, what does it explain? What does it actually explain if you posit God? Because it doesn't explain how he did it. Two, it doesn't explain why he created this possible world out of all possible worlds. And so is it really an explanation to posit God? Because to me, I think it's a non-explanation, to be honest with you. And I'm saying that as an agnostic, so you know that's very difficult for me to have to come to terms with. But I don't see God as explanatory of anything.
It depends on who you're asking, because most of the people you've asked, they haven't really given, I would say, a good answer. But so why did God make this universe and, you know, or why did he do it this way and not any other way? And I would say, so this is actually something Leibniz actually answering. It's because it was the best of all possible ways he could have done it. And from a Christian perspective, I would say, he could have made the universe a thousand other different ways. But the reason he didn't was because he's using all of the random events in his universe to basically lead up to what you could call like a game plan or like a perfect plan. How could I better phrase this? The universe is not perfect. Like, we could agree on that, right? That's one thing everybody in this room can agree on. The universe is not perfect. But in order for, I would say, Yahweh to create this perfect universe, he had to make it in a way where it can evolve so it can one day become perfect. Because if he would have made it perfectly, if Yahweh would have made a perfect universe, you have a dilemma. Now you have, in essence, another God, but you can't do that. How can you have something that is eternal, but it has a beginning? So the only way for Yahweh to basically have this perfect universe, or have this perfect world, is for it to come into union with himself. That's the only way where it could become perfect. And this is really old, like, Jewish theology.
TNR, so that would
answer your why, Steve. That would answer your why. So why did God create the universe the way he did? Because one day it's going to become perfect.
Hold on one second. TMM's trying to parse all that out. He's still processing.
I am too.
I feel a little bit lost.
Yeah, me too, actually. I don't blame you, man.
Let's say the Garden of Eden existed. Was the Garden of Eden perfect?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Really?
Well, before, let's say before the fall happened, what was wrong with the Garden of Eden?
What was wrong? So I don't know if that's like really a good question to ask, because there isn't really anything in the universe that's perfect. But what I'm trying to explain is, it's not something.
Before you go off on that, it says it was perfect. The Bible said it was.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect. It was too.
No. It was very good. Meaning the ecosystem and the animals and stuff like that. Like, it's working in its proper function.
But hold on. She bit the she ate of the fruit of the tree, and that's what introduced sin and everything to the world. Correct?
No.
No. Okay. I have a story. I'm really confused about how the whole world goes.
So the way you guys are thinking of it, you guys are thinking of it from Augustine's point of view. He was one of the first people to actually make the whole proclamation of original sin and all that stuff. But that's completely like just like that has nothing to do with the overall picture I'm painting. So you have this thing where Yahweh wants to make a creation that is in union with himself, but he can't do that necessarily unless it one day becomes perfect. He can't make anything that is perfect. It has to become perfect by having a union with him, by becoming one with him one day. And so through this process of evolution, et cetera, God allows the universe to run up to a certain point to where he finally does, you know, have this theosis with it.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you don't believe in the omnis, because a God that would do that doesn't seem to me to be both omnibenevolent and omnipotent.
So God can do anything that's logically possible, but for him to just go on and make a perfect universe, that it wouldn't be logically possible, because you have a conundrum. You have another Yahweh, you have another God.
I'm not sure how I'm not sure if I follow how a perfect universe would require two gods. Oh, you mean that the universe itself would be a god if he created it perfectly?
Yeah, in a sense. That's basically what I'm arguing. And so
you can't. So anything that's perfect is a god?
What the fuck? I don't know. This is Wayne.
Kyle's like, am I being trolled here?
This is bizarre.
So, okay. You can't make anything basically eternal if it has a beginning, right? If it has a beginning, why it's not truly
eternal. Wait, no, why not? Well, hang on. Is a ray infinite? A ray has a point and a line. You have a line segment, and you have a ray, right? And a ray starts at a point and goes off to infinity. It has a beginning, yet is infinite.
But it's not eternal.
Well, I mean, but it's still infinite.
Yeah, but know. With the Yahweh thing, like, Yahweh
why can't you have a beginning and be eternal? You just can't be past eternal.
Wayne, let me ask a simpler question. Okay, this is the only question that I have, this is the only one that I really want an answer to. Okay, isn't it more simple to just believe things like the Big Bang happened, and it through all of that dust and matter, the world was created. It's we exist on the planet because of certain circumstances that transpired to lead us to where we are today. We live, we die. That's it. rather than the hoops that you're, I mean, I can't even keep up with you. I have no idea where we are right now. I have no idea. So isn't it with Occam's razor? Do you adhere to that? That whole,
it depends on what it is, but I see where you're going, but it would kind of be like with Darwin, when he first came up with his theory of evolution, people say, well, wouldn't it be much more simpler if we just accepted this because it's intellectually comfortable? And I mean, like, sure, but it's not true.
Well, it's still not intellectually comfortable, like, because there are things we don't know, and that's never comfortable. Like, there are answers to even those questions that we don't know, and we'll may never know, and that's not comfortable. None of this is comfortable, but the things that you're describing are just beyond uncomfortable. I mean, they're mind-bending.
It's hard to understand to, I guess you could say, like the average Bible reader or somebody like that. But it's no different, any more complicated than evolution, because evolution is a complicated process. Nonetheless, we understand it very well.
Yeah, right. Because it's understandable. And
it's not just complicated, it's also really abstruse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're talking about taking the Bible, right? That said specifically that before the fall, Eden was perfect. There was no sin, there was no death, none of that existed. And so when that event took place. I guess let me ask you this question, okay? Since you obviously adhere to the Adam and Eve story, what about our ancestors that you brought up earlier, the Neanderthals? Oh. Did they have souls? You used the example that they were religious in a way, and that they buried their dead. What happens with them? Or was Adam and Eve the start of the human race, and we're the only ones that get saved?
You could look at it two ways, but from my position, I think Adam and Eve was So I don't think Adam and Eve were historical figures. So that's kind of that.
Okay.
Our ancestors and stuff like that, they were just as human as you and I were.
Okay. All right. So that does away with the Eden thing. So you just don't believe Eden, the story of the Garden of Eden at all?
No.
Okay. All right. Anywhere you want to go with that, TMM?
Well, I will say that Wayne's theology is I'm still thinking about it and trying to work it out, but I like that he has rejected a lot of things that seem quite nonsensical from a typical apologist's conception of theology and the Bible.
I agree. I think that's the same thing with the flood, Wayne.
Yeah, the flood, local flood, but the way that it's described in the Bible, it didn't happen that way.
Okay, you don't believe.
Yeah, you don't believe God wiped out the entire. Yeah, you don't believe Noah's Ark and all that crap. I mean, if there was a local flood, sure, great. But
so with the Adam and Eve story and the flood story, these were stories that were passed down.
Got it. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So
I'm still lost.
But I love
you to death, Wayne, but I just can't follow. I love you to death, but I can't.
This stuff is complicated. And really, like, the only people who really, like, can keep a hold on these things are, like, people in the field, like certain Bible scholars or theologians and stuff like that. Like I don't even talk about religion with my family because it's just, they're like, this. You believe in too much. It's too much stuff you got to
go. Why did God make it so confusing then?
Right. Are they the only ones that get saved then? Because they're the only ones that can understand the
because I'm not going to go through 70 years of theological studies to understand the Bible. And to
that makes even God, less sense, Wayne. What are you doing?
I'm not one of those people that's going to invest my time to really study theology. You know that, right? So I'm screwed in that case, right? If
Wayne, you're going to be an atheist before next year. Just go ahead and come over to this side. You're just holding on for comfort now, man.
Well, I like the way TMM said it. God may not be the author of confusion, but God is abstruse. You know, because it is confusing. It's very, I don't understand any of that.
I will say, and here's the actual argument. If you guys don't think I'll put forth any arguments in this whole discussion, here's one. As complex and as interesting and everything as the universe is, how much more should the story about, like, you know, God and all that stuff be? Like, if the universe is so much, if the universe is very, what's the word I'm looking for? If the universe is very complex, how much more should the story of God and everything be even much more complex and much more, you know, intellectually stimulating? I mean,
if God existed, it would have to be probably something pretty difficult to understand, I would imagine. Right. One thing I'd like to ask Wayne, though, is would you, if it turned out to be the case that there is some material being that exists outside of this universe, but maybe in some other universe that created this universe, like maybe some kind of extra dimensional extraterrestrial, some extra dimensional technologically advanced alien, would you accept that as being the God that you believe in?
So basically, if God existed, would I believe in God? Yes.
Well, would you agree that that would fit the definition of the God that you believe in?
That's what I've been saying this whole discussion.
Okay. Well, if you believe that an extra dimensional extraterrestrial with advanced technology created this universe and that is God, I would say that that is at least a coherent definition of a God, a more coherent definition than a definition that, say, William Lane Craig would use.
Yeah, but wouldn't that negate the need for Christianity, though? Because he's Christian. So if that, so if what was the case, it kind of, I think, would kind of negate the whole Christian narrative.
But I mean, that's what I've been saying. I've been saying God is hyperdimensional. I don't. Yeah, like I said in this conversation, I said God is hyperdimensional, meaning God exists in, you know, some other dimension. What else did I say? I said I don't think God is spaceless or immaterial or anything like that. But I do think he might exist on like a different timeline. So, I mean, what you just said is basically what I just said minutes ago.
Okay. I, you know what? I'm going to go with that, I guess. You okay with that, TMM?
I'm not. I don't get it.
Yeah, I think that's a coherent definition. And the only question then, if that's what you mean by God, is there sufficient evidence to convince me? And at that point, I would still say no.
Yeah, I think where the follow-up question would be, Wayne, if you didn't have any biblical reference, if you had no Bible or any kind of theological text to go from, what would it be that you had to look at where you would end up going, this is the position I would end up discovering?
That's a very good question. So if I didn't have the Bible, if I didn't have the Bible I had today, there's still our early church father writings, our early church father,
No theological scripture, no early church writings. If you today had no reference from which to draw from, no historical, nothing, it's all a posteriori, you just your own senses, you're out there and you say, I want to draw a conclusion of the explanation of what's going on in the universe. How would you ever get to God?
Because think about it, Wayne, without the text itself, the Bible, you wouldn't have the early church fathers writing about anything, because they all derived their positions from that text. So say you take that away, what do you have now?
Yeah, if you didn't hear that, you probably wouldn't know. The only way you would know it is if this guy somehow interacted with you.
I agree with you there. I agree with you.
Yeah, welcome to atheism, Wayne. We're going to put you, we're welcoming you with open arms. That's a good.
Yeah, you just bypassed agnosticism altogether, and you just went straight to atheism.
That's a good. See, look, we're wrapping on a good note. We're wrapping on a good note, Wayne. Congratulations, Wayne.
Yeah, man. What you did, TMM. Poor Wayne. Yeah,
good.
Damn, look, TMM.
You'll get your card in the mail, and we will have our first baby eating with you. How does that Saturday work?
I'm free.
Barbecue baby cheese.
I mean, free. See, he's not even resisting anymore. Look at that.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good note to probably start bringing to the close. But we do have some super chats from yesterday, and we didn't get a chance to read them, so we're going to be reading them today. TMN, though, you want to kind of close us up for this? And I am giving you some partial credit because You know, Wayne is one of those people that will change his position with given more information. He's not one of those people that's closed-minded. He's one of the most open-minded theists that I've ever met, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to debate him years ago. He's a really good friend and a great guy and highly intelligent. And the fact that he comes on, he's able to even, you know, put forth his positions. I think it's great, you know, because, you know, we started off this show tonight with, you know, unfortunately, somebody who wrote to us and said, you know, we bash on Christians. And obviously, clearly we have Wayne as a friend, and it's not the case.
But when you guys do, yeah, it's funny.
It was a good discussion.
You heard me, Steve?
What's that, Wayne?
When you guys do bash on Christians, it's funny. Because I'm saying it because... I'm
you're so atheist. You're so atheist. Get out of your way. You're going to go back convoluted mess and talk about, I like watching Christians get bashed on. You're an
I'm
atheist.
So telling General Han Solo on you, man.
The roast of Kent Hovind was funny. It was funny.
It was hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not a big Kent Hovind fan.
No.
We're gonna let both of these gentlemen have any kind of closing thoughts that they want to plug, say whatever they need to about the discussion, and then plug their channels, where you can find them, all that stuff. And then if you guys want, you can hang around. I'm going to look at these super chats, see if there's any that pertain to this discussion, but we've got a bunch from yesterday that we're going to read as well. So it's going to be up to you guys if you want to hang out in the call, and maybe we'll talk about some things that are said, or if you guys want to jet, that's cool too. But we've got to do those super chats from yesterday as well. So Wayne, let's start with you, and we'll let you any last minute thoughts, and then let people know where they can find you if they want to follow up.
All right, cool. So, I mean, as far as in this discussion, and guys, don't worry, this happens all the time. You should have seen Thanksgiving at my house. A lot of my family is more like fundamentalists, and they're like, what are you talking about? This is too complicated. Why can't you just believe the Bible for what it says? And I'm like, I do. So that's a whole nother song and dance. But, when you talk about the existence of God and, you know, it's reasonable to believe in him and all that stuff, I think people should understand that science and theology are completely two different things. You can accept all of the science and you can still believe in God for, you know, theological reasons or philosophical reasons. And I hoped I put forth some good arguments tonight. And also on that note, on a second note, when it comes to actually dealing with these questions, like I said before, as complex and as intricate as the universe is, how much more, you know, should the God question be even more intricate and that much more complex? So with that type of question, it's not going to be a simple answer. It's not going to be something that you find overnight. But as you keep on studying and as you keep on researching, you'll bear the fruits of your labor. And then, you know, maybe you will be, you know, as educated as some Bible scholar or people out there. So it definitely is an intellectual pursuit. And I think that's why atheists should pursue it even more.
Okay, where can they find you? Where can people find you?
People can find me at Science Enthusiast. That's my YouTube channel. So just type in Science Enthusiast on my YouTube search and send me emails and stuff.
I'll link that in the description as well. So if you're watching this later on, you can click down below and his link will be there. TMM, your link is already down there below. So guys, if you're watching this now, make sure that you check out his channel. It's fantastic. And all those that are watching this in the future, it will be down below as well. So TMM, any last minute thoughts, and where can people find you?
Yeah, I mean, if you just do a channel search for TMM, you'll find me. Last minute thoughts, good discussion. I had fun. That's really all I got to say.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting. Wayne, I'm sorry. It must really be an intellectual pursuit, because it just went right over my head, man. But like I said, I love you to death. Thank you for coming on. TMM, it was a pleasure. And I actually, there is a question from the super chat, one of the super chats for tonight that was directed at TMM. And 0132132 says, thank you for the super chat. Can a naturalist be a theist? If I don't understand what it means for something supernatural to exist, am I an igtheist?
I think by most definitions of theism and naturalism, yes. However, there is a guy named Johannes Ratz, I don't know if you're familiar with him, who claims to be both a theist and a naturalist. So I guess he believes that God is a kind of natural phenomenon. Actually, I think Wayne's definition of a God could be a natural phenomenon. So I think you can be a naturalist and a theist.
I always tell people I'm a theistic naturalist.
Yeah, I think it's bogus myself. I don't think you can be a theist naturalist. I think that's an oxymoron myself. There's something called natural theism, but that's not the same thing. I think all it does is somebody saying, if God exists, he's part of the natural world, ergo, he's natural. And I don't think it, I think that that's got to be us doing it.
All right, and here's a question. Maybe go ahead, Wayne.
No, I was going to say, obviously God does exist, but he uses natural means to do miracles.
Okay. Here's a question. I'm not sure who it's posed to, but maybe one of you can jump in if you feel the urge. Andrew Botelli. Is that supposed to be Andre Botella? I don't know. Some of these names, I'm sorry if I butchered your name. I'm so sorry. But maybe I'm missing something. But why does there have to be an original nothing from which something would appear? Can't you have an eternal something?
I don't think there's any logical problem with an eternal something, but it looks as though the universe is finite in the past. Some people have a problem with the idea of an infinite regress. But as Bertrand Russell says, there's no logical problem with a series with no first term.
Okay. Anything you want to follow up on, Wayne?
No, not really. Just give me my atheist card.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
And I agree with that, guys.
All right, guys. That's all for the ones that are.
Yeah, someone in the chat said to buy Wayne a fedora for Christmas.
There you go. That'd be a good press.
That's all the ones that were the ones that has specific questions. So it's up to you guys if you want to hang around. But we're going to start going through some of these super chats. Now let me get situated here. Just to finish out the ones from here. 0132132 says, Steve does not believe a mind can exist without a brain. And I'm going to read the ones from last night in Rael's voice. These are kind of serious, so I'm reading them in my regular voice now. But Steve doesn't believe a mind can exist without a brain, and Steve wants to find God as a sapient agent that could prescriptively define natural law. So Steve doesn't believe in gods and is an atheist. Boom, got you, Steve. Well, that is absolutely true. Someday Steve will.
Steve, if you're agnostic, atheism, you're an atheist.
Nice. That's a good isolated sound clip. Can we play that again, David, just for effect?
Steve, if you're agnostic, you're an atheist.
And that voice too, man. That's a
double. I know, it's the voice. I gotta admit, I like hearing it because I like his voice. But Zero, that doesn't follow. You know better.
Someday Steve will admit colloquially atheism is a synonym for non-theism. But today is not that day. I agree with you, Zero. I think you're dead on there.
Haven't for 5 years. Thanks for all the great shows.
From Darren Holmes, thanks for all the great shows. The Golden Nuns was fantastic. The Oscars can learn from you. It was beautiful. Thank you very much, Darren. Appreciate that. And okay, for $2 from Issa Lycan, ContraPoints was the best. I do enjoy ContraPoints. All right, 0132132. Seeing Steve is well enough. Seeing Steve rough is enough. And congrats on being the Pope of the fence, Steve. Cajun Crustacean, I love Reds, all homo. I agree. NANA says, love Reds, no homo. No offense, Kyle. You are cool too. Thank you. Vandy, you're a mess, Vandy. I take back all of my previous hair comments. Aaron Ra has the most majestic hair of them all. I agree.
His hair was fleek. Yeah, he was on fleek yesterday.
Andre says, come on, the best hair award goes to Lord Rael, which would be me, because I'm speaking like Lord Rael does. Uncle Ned, should I keep my Saturn V Lego model up or replace it with the, what the hell, the Technic Mach Anthem truck set? I don't even, do you know what that means, Steve?
Technic Mach Anthem truck set. I
is Uncle Ned asking us what which models he should display?
Could possibly be.
He's asking for decorative.
I'd go with the Saturn V. Yeah, go with the Saturn V. Because I think the Technic Mach Anthem is some kind of like Lego truck set or something. I would have a Saturn V.
And Mr. Atheist says, I'm sorry for ever challenging you, Kyle, for having the best hair. You clearly do, and no one can compete. I thank you, Mr. Atheist.
And you lied your ass off. Let me do this for you, Jimmy, because I told you yesterday that I would, and I told you I got your back. So I'm going to make good on that. Let me read this. Mr. Atheist wins the award for the best hair with Kyle Curtis as a distant, like super distant second. There you go.
Why would you just make things up like that, Steve? That's not a good way to treat the audience.
I'm a liar.
I'm sorry. Sorry, audience.
Okay. I am not going to do my friend Jimmy like that. That's because.
All right. So that's it for us. I want to say a very special thanks to TMM and Wayne for coming on and having this discussion with us. If you guys like what they did, go on. And if you.
This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes are weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls, and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel, and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.